The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, chokers and chokecats. Welcome to the show. It is Thursday, May 9th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And don't panic. 420 Radio is just fine. If you're having some problems with the 420radio.org website, we're just having some back-end issues. Some SQL database dump is clogging up a directory, yada, 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 back-end stuff. We'll work on that after the show and later this evening. 420 Radio will be back up and running. Everything will be just fine. If you'd like to follow along watching the show, well, obviously you are. You're not hearing me right now. RadicalRust.com is still up, of course, and you can get straight through Ustream as well. On today's show, so glad to have our guest today. Normal founder Keith Strop will be on the show at 12:30. In our activist agenda, we're going to talk about the Aspen Legal Seminar, which I've just been confirmed. Both Brian the Red and I have been confirmed to attend and bring you videos and reports from. So we'll talk to Keith about Aspen. Also, I want to talk to him about the recent trends in legalized marijuana, where we're getting 5-nanogram DUI limits, and the recent trends in medical marijuana, where we're not getting home grow. And that's the subject of my rant today as well at 45 past. I'm going to go on a radical rant about the trends in medical marijuana and why in the 2010s, none of the states that have passed medical marijuana have home grow provisions. Also on today's show, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at the court cases that have determined pretty unanimously that marijuana smokers, even medical users in medical states, do not have any employment rights. It's okay for your boss to completely discriminate against you for your choice of recreation or medicine. We'll talk about that and behind the headlines. Also today, Bago Schwago will be with us for some Daily Toker Tunes. It's Groovin' Thursday. We've got Beaters, I think is the name of the artist, is going to be on. Let's see. That's right. Beaster. I can't read this stuff. I'm so old. Beaster will be on with Smoke It Away. But before we get to all of that, we have got our 420 Radio News headlines. In Illinois, the medical marijuana bill has cleared a Senate committee. Massachusetts has finalized their medical rules. We'll tell you what they are. A driver in Colorado got a $35,000 payday. We'll tell you why. Columbia is going to use marijuana for an interesting use. And a UFC marijuana story that doesn't involve a fighter getting disqualified. All that plus Cousin Kenny in the studio. We'll be right back after this.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 9th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Medical marijuana bill clears Illinois Senate committee from the Chicago Tribune. A key panel of Senate lawmakers advanced legislation Wednesday that would allow patients with certain illnesses to use marijuana to ease their symptoms. The measure was approved on a 10-5 vote by the Senate Executive Committee, despite concerns raised by law enforcement officials that the bill would not prevent medical marijuana cardholders from driving under the influence. Under the bill, a 4-year pilot program would be established to allow doctors to prescribe patients no more than 2.5 ounces of marijuana over 2 weeks. Patients would have to buy from one of 60 dispensing centers across the state and could not grow their own. The Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police and the Illinois Sheriff's Association argue the legislation should include blood and urine testing to allow police to determine whether a cardholder had marijuana in their system while driving. Massachusetts adopts medical marijuana rules from the Lowell Sun Online. After some adjustments to draft regulations, the Massachusetts Public Health Council on Wednesday wrote into the state's regulatory code rules governing the medical use of the recreational drug, which voters had set into law by passing a ballot proposal last November. The final rules maintain that the definition of 10 ounces is a 60-day supply. It will rely on doctors to determine if a patient has a debilitating condition that marijuana could treat, and it raises the income level that would allow a patient to qualify for discounted marijuana or allow that person to apply for home cultivation. Under the regulations approved Wednesday, patients whose income is less than 300% of the federal poverty line would qualify. Driver gets $35,000 after being searched for pot smell and nothing found, from the Denver Channel. A man who says he was put in handcuffs for an hour because he allegedly smelled of marijuana is getting $35,000 from the city of Loveland, according to the ACLU. David Kramer said he was stopped for a minor traffic issue on July 4, 2011. Kramer was held in handcuffs for more than an hour and was subjected, in violation of his Fourth Amendment rights, to a search of his body, his wallet, and his vehicle by Loveland police, who gave no justification other than a claim they smelled marijuana, according to a letter that ACLU attorneys sent to the city of Loveland. Loveland police found no marijuana, and a drug dog brought to the scene failed to alert, the ACLU said. Colombia hopes marijuana will help addicts kick hard drug habit, from Fox News Latino. The Colombian government is testing a new tactic to wean addicts off of synthetic drugs. In upcoming weeks, the officials in the country's capital of Bogota will begin a program giving marijuana to addicts of bazuco, a cheap form of cocaine made out of drug residue mixed with kerosene and sulfuric acid that gives users a crack-like high and a heroin-like addiction. In Colombia, as well as the United States, marijuana is viewed by many as a gateway drug that leads users to harder substances such as cocaine and heroin. But Julian Andres Quintero, the head of Acción Técnica Social, a nonprofit that is working on the initiative, said, quote, "This project is not aimed at getting people to quit using. This is about reducing risks and mitigating the damage. We want people to quit a substance that is very, very damaging and transition to something less dangerous and which will allow them to function in society," end quote. Researchers cite the success of similar programs in Canada, Brazil, and Jamaica as proof that the initiative will succeed in Colombia. A 2002 study of crack users in Jamaica found that of 14 women surveyed who gave up the drug, 13 attributed it to smoking marijuana, according to the Iowa College of Nursing. Team Alpha Male coach Dwayne Ludwig uses THC to get a different look when studying film, from MMAmania.com. Former UFC and kickboxing veteran Dwayne Ludwig has taken over the reins at Team Alpha Male during the past 4 months, and the results have been extraordinary. The 5 Alpha Male fighters on the UFC roster have gone 9-0 in that short span, scoring increasingly impressive victories, most recently winning all 3 fights on UFC on Fox by stoppages inside the second round. So what's Ludwig's secret weapon? Quote, "It's freaking legal. Let me address the issue. When I watch film normal how I am now. Then I watch film when I'm high on marijuana. I watch film from different states of consciousness to get a different look at things, just to see if maybe I missed a step," end quote. That's your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 9th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at case law that has determined marijuana patients have no employment rights whatsoever. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Do you want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind, liberate your mind.
Welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines, and we are going to take a look at Forbes magazine as well as Fortune Management on CNN have both had recent stories on the legalization of marijuana versus employment rights. And I'm going to take a look at the CNN story on this one. They talk about how Washington and Colorado have both passed marijuana legalization, and that seems straightforward enough. Anyone over 21 can possess an ounce without facing a penalty, right? Well, wrong. Not when it comes to employment and employers. And the question here is, how do you maintain a drug-free workplace, alleged drug-free workplace, in a state where workers have the right to use marijuana? And this is taking a look. The story is basically explaining to people who don't know a lot of the background behind this. And that fact is that just because marijuana has been legalized, whether it be for medical use in 19 states or recreational use in 2 states, we can be completely discriminated against in employment. They can still pee test us and based on a metabolite, not hire us. They can P-test us at work randomly and fire us from our jobs. They can outright just not hire us even for having a medical marijuana card based on the presumption that that means we're a drug abuser. So people oftentimes think of employment as a right. They think of how can this be legal? How can it be constitutional? Well, the fact is, in lots of case law, when it comes down to your employment, it's been determined that that is a voluntary contract between you and an employer, and it's not the government forcing you to do anything. So since you choose to be employed, you know, so you can pay rent and eat and stuff, since you voluntarily chose to be an employee of this place, you have to follow their rules. And of course, there's the Drug-Free Workplace Act of 1988 and all sorts of other laws that give them great latitude to discriminate against us. Now, the court cases involved in this, the most recent one is the case of Coates versus Dish Network LLC. And this involved Brandon Coates. He's a quadriplegic telephone operator for Dish Network. And he's a registered medical marijuana patient in the state of Colorado. Now, that means not only does he have the medical right to use it, but a constitutional right to possess it, even if he wasn't a quadriplegic. However, he was fired by Dish Network after he failed a positive drug test. And Dish Network cited no other reason other than the drug test. In fact, as they were testifying, they had to admit he did not exhibit any impairment on the job whatsoever or ever had any indication that he was using marijuana on the job. merely for failing the drug test, he could be fired. And the legality behind that is really shocking when you consider Colorado has a statute called the Lawful Activities Statute, which prohibits employers from firing workers for, quote, engaging in any legal activity off the premises of the employer during non-working hours, end quote. Well, you would think that would be a slam dunk, wouldn't it? It's a constitutional right and a medical right in the state of Colorado, but wrong. The judges in this case, 2-1 decision at the Court of Appeals said, quote, for an activity to be lawful in Colorado, it must be permitted by and not contrary to both state and federal law. So, once again, they have found a way that even in a state that expressly says, if you're doing something legal off premises, they can't discriminate against you, except that if that's marijuana, because that's federally illegal. All right, so that's the Colorado case. In Michigan, the case that most recently came before that shocked us all was Casillas versus Walmart. This was Joseph Casillas, an employee of Walmart. He'd been working for 5 years. He was an associate of the year. He suffers from sinus cancer and an inoperable brain tumor. So he was fired due to a drug test, and he was a medical marijuana patient. He failed the drug test. His employment was terminated. He sued for wrongful discharge, claiming that Walmart's application of its drug use policy causes him to violate the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. And the federal district court found the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act does not regulate private employment and granted the motion to dismiss. The court found that the act merely provides defense to criminal prosecution or adverse actions by the state. And this is another little peg they hang their hat on here in these cases, is the fact that when you're in a medical marijuana state, you're not legal. All you patients out there, I've got my card, I'm legal. No, you're not. You're still in violation of state law. Your state law still has marijuana, in most cases, on the controlled substances list. You're still violating the law. What your card or recommendation gives you is an exemption from arrest and prosecution. It doesn't make you legal. It makes you a criminal they can't bust. And because that's still a criminal act, because it's still not technically legal, in the Michigan case here, it does not protect you from any sort of employment discrimination. Now here in California, let's go to California next. Ross v. Raging Wire Telecommunications. This was Gary Ross, wrongful termination because of violation of the California Fair Employment and Housing Act. But again, the California Supreme Court ruled against, saying that medical marijuana patients cannot state civil causes of action for employment discrimination. So even in California, no protection for your use of medical marijuana. Here in Oregon, two cases, Washburn v. Columbia Forest Products. This was a man, Robert Washburn, suing Columbia Forest Products that he was a disabled worker and they didn't accommodate his disability under Oregon's Disability Act. Once again, the Supreme Court held that where an individual's symptoms can be mitigated so they're not substantially limited, the person's not disabled. Let me rephrase that for you. In Washburn v. Columbia Forest Products, the disabled guy uses medical marijuana so he can work. And the court says, well, if medical marijuana makes you able to work, then you aren't disabled now, are you? Ha! It's actually based on precedent that had to do with eyeglasses, believe it or not. The Emerald Steel case, Emerald Steel versus the Bureau of Labor and Industries, a similar case allows, how do the state and federal laws intersect? And again, was held that the card has no basis in helping you because it's still illegal federally. Well, that was early. It's not 4:20 yet. It's not even 3:20 yet. That's okay. Maybe Libramator knows something I don't. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit...
I have the freedom to think however I want. This is the United States of America, and I think that I'll let Terry do the thinking for me. Terry Joyce puts the probe back in prohibition. Terry Joyce knows more about conspiracy theories than anyone in the United States of America, and that's because she makes up most of them. Terry Joyce can host a show like no one's ever seen, but that's only because no one's ever seen her host a show before. That's why I'm asking you to watch the Hollywood Hempers Hour with Terry Joyce. And you can trust me because I'm a warlock. Witch's honor.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, let's get to the Groovin' Thursday Daily Toker Tunes. Joining us by telephone, we got Bago Schwago. How you doing, my man?
Doing
good here. And I totally messed up the name of this group. I totally messed up the name when I intro'd this earlier.
That's cool, man. The name's Beaster, actually. B-E-A-Z-T-E-R.
Excellent, man. So how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you guys doing over there?
Fantastic. And BEAZTER.com looks like the website here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a hip-hop artist out of Orange County, California. I was born and raised in the 714, and I got a great team backing me right now. I got a whole list of people to thank and everything for this track that I'm going to be dropping today.
All right.
I've been doing this for a little bit. But.
The track is Smoke It All Away. So is a lot of your beats and rhymes, a lot of your music about the 420 lifestyle?
I've been working with the Blended Society for 2 years now. They've been my family. They've been putting me on stages. You know, Big to the Boy and Damn Entertainment. They really gave me a camera, and they've been putting me on stages and putting me on a microphone. And every day has been living the 420 lifestyle. Whether I'm in the shop or whether I'm at home, I'm always sparking up a bowl, writing music, and that's my lifestyle.
Excellent.
Now, so they taught me that.
Is there some? Are you performing there in the OC? Are you touring? What are you doing?
Oh, all over OC right now. Orange County has been. It's been where I've been performing in Santa Ana, Anaheim. I've been even stretched out to Los Angeles. I'm not doing a tour yet. I'm basically independent right now, doing everything independently myself. With a great team behind me, you know.
Yeah.
And I've just been doing it myself.
Yeah, and I'm also we got Bago Schwago joining us. Are you there, Bago?
I am here now.
Fantastic. Yeah. So we got Beaster on the line with us as well. I was wondering if you had any questions for him.
I was just curious to know what his biggest motivations are in the rap, growing up, listening to rap music. Who are his biggest motivations and influences?
Man, growing up, you know, my mom, she always had me doing stages when I was little. So I was always listening to the pop stuff. She got me going on the pop stuff when I was younger. But growing up, hip hop really became about lyrics and listening to Cannabis. He's an artist that's been out there that throws down mad bars. You know, the fast rappers, the Tech Nines, all the way to the, you know, the Swollen Members, Mad Child, Prevail. Those cats have been around forever, you know, and I have mad respect for everyone in the game. But really, this one artist that I just recently, in the last few years, heard of, his name is Big to the Boy. He became an influence for me, and I started listening to him and what he really has to say, and he has real shit to say. And he reps Blunted Society just like me, and he lives the 420 lifestyle just like I do. And everything centered around the 420 and smoking, doing dabs in the studio, and it's a hip-hop lifestyle.
Right on, man. Hey, I know there's a lot of events going down there in Southern California, cups and expos. Do you get out to any of those? Do you get to perform at some of those events?
You know, I haven't gotten to go out to the 420 events. What we've been doing is at Blended Society, we had the 420 blowout this last time, and we had everybody come through, and they got free dabs for the first-time patients. And so I got to party with them. We did a Harlem Shake video that's coming out pretty soon. And we had a bunch of artists coming through and everything. So it's great. You know, that's what I've been doing, really getting centered with the local dispensaries around here. But recently, actually, just a few days ago, I've been actually watching the show, and there's tragedy that happened. There's a bunch of, all over Orange County, the dispensaries have been served with letters, a 7-day letter to close down. Uh-huh. Hundreds of people are out of work, and a bunch of patients are left high and dry. And it's going to be happening in L.A. County coming up pretty soon, and we're going to have to deal with that tragedy as well. But but you know, that's our roots. That's where I came from. Was, you know, growing up in the weed shop, and you know, that's where I'm staying. You know, and just like you said, 420 lifestyle. There's no getting out of it.
Yeah.
And just like Russ speaking about a while back before this on the discriminatory about, you know, about jobs and everything.
Yeah.
That's a shame about jobs. Discriminating on 420 patients, but to be able to go and go to your job and not have to worry about that, and have people that love you and having that taken away from you is what we're dealing with right now. And that sucks in Orange County right now. But as for performing, every time we perform, we go to 420 friendly venues, and we actually have some cool venues coming up at Jack's Bar and Grill, even Venetian Strip Club. They have the Corrupt coming out. It's going to be a 420 event. Smoke Out and all that good stuff.
All right.
Sponsored by Blended Society.
That sounded great. And what? Give us the any Facebook or website addresses for people if they want to get more information, and then we'll run your track here.
Definitely. Everything is Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. What else? SoundCloud, Reverb Nation, everything is .com/Beaster, BEAZTER.
Gotcha.
And,
BEAZTER.
Exactly.
Right on. Thank you for joining us here on the show. We appreciate talking to the artists. And, Bago Schwago, you want to introduce the tune?
Sure. Yeah. No, I really like this song. He has a few 420 songs. And this one really got my head bobbing. And, I got to say, Smoke It All Away. It's a great song, and it gets your head going. So I like it. I like it a lot.
Here we go.
Bye-bye. music blaring out the window, yeah, that's how we ride. Tatted up, looking crazy like some superstars, and everybody looking at us like we in charge. Roll up the windows, it's time to hot box. Take a quick glance, always looking out for cops. Spark it up and take a rip, go ahead, expand your mind. Bumping beats, good times, and freestyle rhymes. 7-Eleven, hell yeah, you know that sounds good. King Cobras and Taquitos when we in our hood. Turn the music down, good vibrations. Having a dope night with even better conversations. Pull up to the pad, clouds full of smoke. All the neighbors looking at us like they about to choke. But that's the way we do it, top shelf all day. And when the night comes, we smoking up the Bombay. All the good times, all the sleepless nights. All I do is just
smoke it all the way.
All the dope rhymes, all the flashing lights. All I do is just
smoke it all the way.
Sleepless nights, all I do is just
smoke it. I just wanna smoke it all the way. Take a big hit and blow out all the pain. Cause this shit, I know it's all the same. Simplistic, like for a smaller brain. Getting lifted, so they call me plain. Wish to fix it. All I want is change for both you and me. Through my eyes, if only you could see. Truthfully, this earth used to be beautifully intertwined. I don't gotta get in your head for you to enter mine and find how centered I'm. Because you matter, I will never mind. Ready to be your warmth in the winter time. Forever better sworn, together weather storm. Let me be your company and you'll never get a thorn. Cause I notice the light inside when I focus is bright and guides. And I'm hoping it's right cause I can't afford to be wrong. I smoke it all the way like the words in the song. Cali crisp Easter and the greenest one.
All the good times, all the sleepless nights. All I do is just
smoke it all the way.
All the dope rhymes, all the flashing lights. All I do is just
smoke it all the way.
All the sleepless nights, all I do is just
smoke it all the way.
Put your lighters up, put your lighters up for the sleepless nights. I see you rolling up, see you rolling up for the good times. Go and spark it up, yeah, go and spark it up and get high tonight. Go and smoke it up, yeah, go and smoke it up and relax your mind.
All the good times, all the sleepless nights. All I do is just
smoke it all the way.
All the dope rhymes, all the flashing lights. All I do is just
smoke it all the way. Away, away.
All I do is just
smoke it all the way.
All the good times, all the sleepless nights. All I do is just
smoke it all the way.
It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff. It's the most addictive kind of cocaine, and it can kill you. What's really bad is nobody knows how much it takes. So every time you use it, you risk dying. It isn't worth it. Look, everybody wants to be cool, but doing it with crack isn't just wrong. It could be dead wrong.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Hey, Cat. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I just left the studio. Here we are in Harlem. Everybody's here but the police, and they'll be here any minute. It's high time. So catch this song. Here it is. Say, I dreamed about a reefer 5 feet long. A mighty mess, but not too strong. You'll be high, but not for long. If you're a viper.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And it is 36 after the hour. And joining us by telephone from Virginia in his home, we have Keith Stopp, the founder of NORML and the author of It's NORML to Smoke Pot, the 40-year fight for marijuana smokers' rights. It's Keith Stopp. Keith, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Russ, thanks for having me on.
So glad to have you here. So much to talk about. First of all, the book, It's NORML to Smoke Pot. How's it doing? A lot of people enjoying
this? Well, I am not an author, and I'm sure that people who read the book recognize that. and I spent years working on this because I headed in several different directions. But what I ended up with, and I actually appreciate some good editors at High Times for helping me do this, was I threw out about two-thirds of what I had written because it was information that while I might have thought it was fascinating, very few other people would have. And it really ends up being a history of NORML. And in fact, I felt pretty good about that. I should have probably simply aimed at that at the beginning. What I wanted to do with the book is to make sure people remember in future generations that NORML has always been a consumer lobby, and we're serious about that. I didn't just come up with some term. I literally worked around Ralph Nader for 2 years when I was avoiding the draft in Vietnam back in 1968 to 1970. I learned a lot about using your law degree to affect public policy instead of just trying to get rich. But the policy I wanted to impact was legalizing marijuana because I had first started smoking grass when I was a freshman at Georgetown in 1965. Georgetown Law School, I know it makes them proud to hear that. at any event, because of that, as we get close to legalization, and now in Colorado and Washington, we're actually dealing with the specifics of regulation, what level tax, what kind of retail outlets, who qualifies, who gets a head start. Consumers have an enormous role to play. The industry will be very well represented. You know, there already is at least one national industry lobby. There are several state-level industry lobbies. There is hundreds of millions of dollars that is pouring into these states that are legalizing marijuana because it's kind of like a gold rush. It's sometimes referred to as a green rush. Well, all of those people are good people, but they'll be well represented because they have lots of money. What we have to make sure at NORML is that consumers are at the table and are also well represented. And by that, I simply mean that what consumers want, they want a product that is high quality, affordable, and convenient. Now, they also want it to be safe. They want to make sure they know what THC level and what CBD level and make sure it doesn't have any molds in it. But essentially, what we want as a consumer lobby is affordable, high-quality marijuana that's convenient to get. And so that's going to be NORML's goal over these coming years. And since I'm becoming an old man and don't know how long I'll be around, I sort of wanted to record that to make sure we don't lose our way.
Excellent. And as a consumer lobby, there's issues that are coming up as we go along the routes of legalizing for medical use and legalizing for recreational use, some trends that have seemed to develop. And I wanted to get your take on these. Yesterday, I even ranted about this a bit as Colorado, in its seventh attempt, finally got a 5 nanogram limit passed, although it's a permissible inference. And so now we've got both of the legalized states setting a limit, a numerical limit for THC in the blood for motor vehicles. Do you see this as a trend that's going to continue as other states try to legalize? Is it going to get worse? Or
it's going to be a race between the science versus the ideologues. The ideologues, obviously, are trying to use it to discourage marijuana smoking and to classify people as if they're impaired drivers, when in fact they may not be impaired at all. They simply may be people who are experienced smokers. But even though they have THC in their system, if they're not impaired, what we really need is a test that adequately measures impairment. None of us want impaired drivers on the road. And I actually am very proud. I think Paul Armentano has played a major role. I know he's feeling discouraged right now, but he's worked for the last 2 or 3 years in Colorado to avoid a per se statute. As you know, there was a real strong attempt initially to pass a 5 nanogram or even lower per se. I think some people proposed 2 nanograms. Mm-hmm. And as you know, there are about a dozen states that have zero tolerance. You have any THC in your system, and you are per se deemed to be impaired. So my feeling is that with each issue like the DUI issue, whether in Washington or Colorado, there is a bit of a trade-off. We can't win these issues unless we enjoy the support of a majority of the public. And a majority of the public do not smoke marijuana. Only 13% smoke marijuana. So in order to win and to maintain the political support that we're currently enjoying across the country, we have to make sure that we respond in a real fashion to concerns when they're raised by people who don't want to treat marijuana smokers like criminals, but they also want to make sure they're not going to have a lot of impaired drivers on the road. You know, they have a right to expect that their own culture isn't going to be degraded by the fact that they've agreed with us and stopped arresting smokers. So I hope over the next couple of years that the government will finally fund some studies so that we can develop a roadside impairment test that really works and measures impairment and not just THC. But for the moment, at least if we're going to have those kinds of things, let's try to make them rebuttable presumptions or inferences rather than per se laws. That gives the defense counsel at least some chance to overcome that presumption.
Is it a case, I was just wondering, is it a case that the limits are too low or that there shouldn't be a limit?
Well, no, I think if you had a real impairment test, you wouldn't need a limit, frankly. Now, the limit may serve some function at some level just to reassure the real, the ideologues that, no, if you're fall down drunk, stoned, you know, you can't walk to the car, then of course you shouldn't be driving the damn car. We all recognize that. But any reasonable impairment test is going to determine that better than a statutory guess, and that's all these 5-nanogram statutes are. Again, I'm not terribly discouraged by the fact that they adopted the 5-nanogram presumption, only because there are states around them that have zero-tolerance laws and have 2 nanograms, and so, you know, and have per se laws instead of inferences. So we held them off, like you said, 11 times or something before they finally managed to get that passed. And I know how disappointing that is to those of you who fought hard to avoid it. But I don't think we want to lose sight of the forest because of the trees. Mm-hmm. The real issue here is that it is incredibly important that Colorado and Washington are actually legalizing marijuana, and they're dealing with the details of how it's going to work. And so our job, I think, those of us who smoke marijuana, is to embrace this sort of regulation, because even though I know a lot of people would rather not pay a tax, but that's the deal when you bring your culture above ground. But with it, we're also going to get a lot of consumer protections that we wouldn't have otherwise.
So moving forward, you know, we look at 2014 and 2016 as the next two big elections, and there's a number of states. I know Oregon and California are in the mix, Alaska, and maybe a few of the New England states. I think Maine and Vermont have talked about it. So as they move forward, do you think they're going to have to include some sort of limit? And if so, should it just be a higher limit? Or can we win a legalization without a limit?
I don't think for a few years we will probably have the level of support. Eventually, I think we could, because eventually what experience is going to show in these states is that you don't suddenly have a lot of impaired drivers on the road. They may not realize it, but the 30 million of us who smoked marijuana in the last year in this country, we also drive, and we've been driving all year. So it's not like we never drove. You know, you never had marijuana smokers driving. Of course, you've had millions of marijuana smokers driving for, you know, the last 75 years of prohibition. So it's more a perceived problem than a real problem. And I think once a couple of the early states demonstrate that there's no big spike in DUIDs and there's not a lot of people being maimed on the road or killed on the road because of stoned drivers, then I think this concern will become far less important politically. But right now, it seems to be the one thing that the voters told us in California with Prop 19. The voters have voted against it more than any other reason. They cited their fear of impaired drivers on the road. So it is a real concern that non-smokers have, and so we've got to deal with it.
Yeah, and just to buttress that point of yours, I've been paying attention to Washington State, and DUI stats aren't available yet. You know, FBI Uniform Crime Report's usually a year behind when they do all that reporting. But I was able to find Washington State monthly fatalities on the road, and since the passage of I-502, it's been a declining trend month by month, and each month is lower than any of the registered months from the past 5 years.
And by the way, that's probably going to be the substitution effect that, of course, a lot of social scientists have discussed in theory. I suspect that's probably what's at play here. And if it is, of course, then I think it'll be easier to overcome this concern that our opponents now have. But again, the problem is, of course we could have an impairment test that measured when you're impaired if you've been smoking marijuana. The reason we don't have it is our own goddamn government wouldn't put up the funding to do it. They didn't want to have an impairment test. They want to treat all marijuana smoking as if it's abuse. There's no such thing as marijuana use. Well, of course there is, and most people who smoke are just users. They're not abusers. But we need the test. I know it sounds strange to hear from a marijuana advocate, but we do. We need it for our own protection.
I've got folks in the chat room that are following along as well, and the first question we've gotten from them is, how can they get your book?
Well, there's a couple of easy ways. If you want an e-version, you can go to iTunes or Barnes & Noble. You can get it from the Normal website, and you can get it from the High Times website. Unfortunately, that's it. It's not marketed in a major way. Obviously, if you're asking my recommendation, I'd say go to the Normal website and buy it. But frankly, I don't care. If you're interested, buy it any place you want. And I will say the ebook version is only $4.20. The book's only $15 anyway, but the ebook is $4.20. So
fantastic.
That may be the preferred avenue to go to.
Excellent. And, another trend that I wanted to get to, we talked about the driving limit trend with legalization. In medical marijuana, there seems to be a trend now that since 2010, that states pass medical marijuana without allowing the consumer the right to home grow.
Starting with New Jersey, as you recall, and followed shortly thereafter by the District of Columbia. Now, more recently, which New England state?
We got Delaware, passed theirs. Illinois and New York's bills also don't have home grow in them. Yeah. And New Hampshire is looking to, the governor was complaining she'd not sign it if they didn't take out the home grow.
Yeah, I think what's happened is law enforcement has gotten more refined in their opposition. You know, for a long time, all they had to do was yell law and order and marijuana leads to heroin or something. All these elected officials that kowtowed to the police unions and to the police generally would do what they wanted to do. In this instance, those old arguments quit working, but the one that they really have focused on, excuse me, I'm choking here, is what you've identified. So, in some ways, it's a victory to us that that's all law enforcement is left to argue. But even that, it won't be long until it'll be over. We are winning this issue, Russ, which is really important for people to stand back and realize, not because we got more clever, however that should be said, not because our arguments became a little more refined. No, we are winning it because we actually finally did win the hearts and minds of a majority of the American public, and that's a significant accomplishment for our movement, and it's why we're now dealing with these nuances of what's legalization going to be like and what's medical use going to be like. The cops began to focus on what they considered their inability to control the black market if people were allowed to grow their own marijuana. And I suppose there's some truth to that. You know, there's no doubt probably the reason a lot of us would like the right to grow it is because it's harder for them to control. So by focusing only on the cultivation, they have succeeded with a lot of mainstream politicians who want to support what we're doing, but who also don't want to alienate the police. And so that seems to be the compromise they've come up with.
We're speaking with Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal and the author of It's Normal to Smoke Pot, the 40-year fight for marijuana smokers' rights. And speaking of Normal and what's going on, the Normal Legal Committee has got the Aspen Legal Seminar going on at the end of this month. We'll be there with 420 Radio covering it for you. And Keith, we're really looking forward to going up there. It's such a great time. Tell folks about the seminar because it's not just for lawyers.
No, this is we have two seminars a year, two legal seminars. The one is in Key West, and we have a space limitation, so we only limit that to lawyers only. But the one in Aspen, we actually invite people who are simply consumers or they're interested otherwise culturally, they're in the industry, they're welcome to attend. Frankly, their registration fee is less because they're not looking for what's called continuing legal education or CLE credit. But it's a marvelous time. It's a wonderful time to be in Aspen because it's off season and it's beautiful. It's not crowded. You can get a reservation wherever you want to go. If you've ever been to Aspen during the season, it's hideous. You know, it's like being in Manhattan or something. It's so crowded and you can't get in to have dinner. So this is a wonderful time of the year to be in the Rocky Mountains. But in addition, we have a couple of traditions. We're doing them both this year. One night we go to a beautiful home that Jerry and Chris Goldstein, old friends of ours, a criminal defense lawyer that works out of San Antonio, Texas, but has another home in Aspen. They always hold a fundraiser, a dinner one night that's hosted, and the chef is Chris Lanter, who owns a restaurant in Aspen, a fancy restaurant called Cash Cash. And he prepares the food, and it's a fundraiser for Normal. And then on Saturday, we go out to Hunter Thompson's old home called Al Farm. His widow is kind enough to invite us back out most all years, and they have some live music. Actually, some of the old Nitty Gritty Dirt Band are still around, a couple of other locals, and they play some music, and we have some cookout. It's a wonderful experience to be in the mountain with 100 or so of your stoned-out friends from Normal.
Oh, yes, and I will actually be bringing my bass this year, so we'll have a really
good
jam.
No, absolutely. As you remember, they always invite anybody from the crowd to come up at some point. Bill Panzer always does it. I think there are a number of other people who bring their instruments. I think, doesn't Matt Kuhlman, I think?
Mm-hmm. It's,
yeah.
Aspen and Owl Farm are some of my favorite memories. I even have sitting right, I have a shotgun shell from Hunter's farm that I kiped because I figured... Hunter would understand.
Nice. That's nice. I have this wonderful picture on my wall where Hunter was at the shooting range behind his house, and he was shooting a picture of Ronald Reagan, and he used to do that by shooting a can of paint, and it would explode, you know, red or blue paint all over some picture, and he'd take it into Aspen and sell it to some silly fan of his for $5,000, you know. In any event, this time, the can exploded and blew him back and knocked him on his ass, and he sent it to all of his friends, and it says, the death of Dr. Thompson, Al Farm, Thanksgiving, let me see what year it was. I can't even read. And he says, the wicked accused, the godly defend.
That's right. And didn't you get your ass almost shot by Hunter Thompson at one point?
Yeah. I mean, I actually tell that story in the book. I've never believed that he probably was going to shoot me. I think he was acting out, but you're never sure with Hunter. That was part of the appeal, was that it was always a little bit dangerous when you were around him, either getting in trouble, all of you, with the authorities, or him getting a little out of control. But that certainly did make it it was like an adult's playground when you went out to visit Hunter. I considered myself unplugged from the world. Of course, you had to if you were going to visit with Hunter.
No kidding.
We miss him, I assure you. His friendship was very real, and all of us who knew him well Miss Indeed, the man. It's wonderful when we go back out there at people who don't know. His widow has kept the house almost like a museum when you walk into it. It is exactly the way it was when Hunter was alive. And it's almost eerie at times, but it's wonderful to see.
So as people who might want to attend the Aspen Legal Seminar, you can get there by going to normal.org/Aspen. And it's a great time to go because, like Keith said, it's, you know, before their season, so the prices aren't completely jacked up to the stratosphere. They're still high.
Oh, yeah, no, the rooms aren't too bad. I can't remember what they're charging.
I think it's $165 for the singles.
It has nice single bedrooms, but he also has real nice two bedrooms where each of you have your own private bath, et cetera. So it's a nice place to do group, you know. But I certainly would encourage anybody to come. It's a good experience. It's not just a matter of getting together with friends and getting high. We all do that whenever we want to. It really is a sense of exhilaration when you're at a location where it's clear it's no longer a crime to do what you're doing. And Colorado falls into that now. So I'm looking very forward to getting back out. As you were, Russ, I was just in Denver.
Yes,
for
yes.
The Cannabis Cup.
And we'll both be going after Aspen to the Texas Regional Normal Conference.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it sounds like they're going to do a good job. I think they've got most of the various Texas groups involved. It sounds like a great time.
What are some of the topics being covered by the attorneys there for the seminar, in case people are...
Well, I'll tell you, the one I think is most timely is it's on the first day, and Lance Rogers out of San Diego is handling it. I suspect this is a topic we're going to include on our legal seminars for a number of years because there's no set answer to it. But the title is Ethical and Legal Liability of Attorneys Representing Cannabis Businesses. Mm. In other words, keep in mind that ethically, a lawyer traditionally has never been allowed to advise a client on how to successfully evade the law. Well, that's what you're doing if you're advising a can of business, because it still remains illegal under federal law. So it puts the legal profession in a very strange place. And so that's one topic I'm looking very forward to. On kind of more modern stuff, there's a couple of cell phones that I think are terrific. E.X. Martin out of Dallas is doing one he calls Cell Phone Forensics for Criminal Defense Lawyers, and iPad for the Defense. And Aaron Romano out of Connecticut does a similar one, but they've assured me they've done these at other seminars together and they don't overlap, called Debunking Cellular Telephone Tracking, How to Win Your Case and Make the Prosecutor Cry. So, in other words, a part of what we're doing is we recognize that we've got an obligation to keep people current with the latest tools and methods and techniques. And one of the challenges for a criminal defense lawyer always is, how do you do a good job for your client but remain ethical in the sense that you're not subject to being disciplined by the bar? Mm. That's always been a risk that defense lawyers take if they get too close to their clients.
Absolutely. And folks, there's plenty that you can learn there. I've done a few of these seminars, and I remember one year on drug dogs. They just totally opened my eyes on a whole bunch of topics I'd never thought about before. It's totally worth the trip. Check out normal.org/Aspen if you're interested in going. And Keith Stropp is the founder of Normal and the current legal counsel. And we thank you so much for joining us here again on the Russ Belville Show.
Always my pleasure, Russ.
All right,
I look forward to seeing you at the end of the month.
All right, see you then. Well, that's all the time we got here for Hour 1, folks. Thanks for joining us. We'll take things into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. I've got a little rant on the whole no home grow situation to talk about. Cousin Kenny's in the house. Brian the Red's made it in as well, so we'll chill out and just relax a little and take your calls at 971-533-7111. I kind of lost track of what I was saying. How could that have happened? Hey, for Cousin Kenny and Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.